Let's turn over to 1 John 4. We've been in a series for some weeks called Faith Over Fear. Praise God. And I encourage you, if you haven't heard all these messages, go back and listen. The link is in your bulletin. So there's a few. We have a media page on the website that just has a few messages, kind of a sampling. But then if you go to the link in your bulletin, you can go back and listen to everything since 2008 or 2009. I can't remember how far back it goes. I mean, we have the other messages before that, but those are the ones that are up there. But this series is all available. I encourage you, we're not repeating everything we've gone over before, and this kind of builds to where we are today. I encourage you, go back and listen to them. 1 John 4, verse 17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Do you realize there is a lot of fear in the world today? If you didn't know that, all you need to do is just put on the TV, look at any internet website. I mean, all kinds of fear. People are scared of so much. And it never ends. I said it never ends. People get over one thing and it's another thing. It's always, if you listen to what is going on in the world, there is, you know, it's not like there haven't been challenges in the past. People have gone through some stuff on this world, but it's amplified because every little thing is out there, and people have so many opinions, and it's just stuff you don't even want to know, stuff that you never heard of. It's like, well, did you know this is going around? Well, no, I didn't. Well, and even if it has like a zero chance of ever affecting you, you just know about it now. It's another piece of information that's rattling around in your head. And people are scared. People that wouldn't like to admit it, you know, basically it boils down to they're afraid. There's motivation for a lot of things that are going on the earth today, and you know what it actually is? It's fear. It's not even, people get behind certain causes, and you know the reason is because they're afraid, whether they know it or not, whether they admit it or not. Praise God. Thinking if I should say something or not. But there are a lot of things in this earth. People are actually afraid, and that's the motivation. Should I say some of this or not? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let me just say this. Don't want to get off. You know, somebody said like this, I was listening to Keith Moore once, and he said, you know, I pray that nobody would come and be offended unnecessarily. Did you hear that? He goes, if I say something and it's just dumb, and you're offended, well, I don't want that. But if you're offended at the word or at truth, that's going to happen, and that's not a bad thing. Are you with me? Do you realize people are offended by the word of God? Let me ask you a question. Were people offended with Jesus?
Yes.
And do you think, was it because of his bad personality or because he just made stupid comments?
No.
It wasn't. It was because truth came into contact with religion, and religion gets offended. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Religion does not like truth showing it up, faith showing it up. So You know, we all have decisions to make as we butt up against the Word of God. We have a decision to make. Am I going to change or am I going to... You can't change the Word much as you want. People, that's where religion comes. People try to change the Word. They decide to say, well, the Word says this. I had this experience in my life. I don't know why. And then they come up with some doctrine to explain it. And they go off in a different direction. And that's where, you know, people get offended. You can be offended by the Word. Because if you let yourself, it comes and it hits you. And you've been believing a certain way and it hits you. And the enemy, quick, you know the parable of the sower? Where the Word is sown and he comes immediately to steal the Word. You know how he steals it a lot of times? He get you offended at it. Get you offended at what's going on. Well, look at that guy's hair. He can't have anything good to say. You know, look at his shirt. Why does he talk like that? You know, I mean, anything. Well, wait a minute. That's not what so-and-so said. So what? And he just gets you off track. Right there. Boom. It's gone. If he can get you off thinking about something while the Word's coming forth. So the thing that's going to change your life is about to come forth and you get offended at something and you start thinking about it and right there, he's got you off in the weeds and the thing that will change your life is going forward. This happens all the time. We have to understand what's going on. And people get offended with the Word. Let me ask you a question. Why would you, even if it weren't something, if it were something that you thought was incorrect, why would you get mad over it? You ever ask yourself that question? If you get mad over something, what does that mean? If you're like, well, where's that coming from? You ever ask yourself that question? People hear somebody preach, they're like, well, and they'll get mad. Where does that come from? Why, you know, if you were truly knew the truth, if you knew the truth, you could say, well, I don't agree with that, but, you know, this is right. People get spitting mad over something. Where does that come from? Is that God? Well, that's not right. This is what the Bible says, and doesn't that person, okay. Why are you mad about it? Doesn't the Bible says to speak the truth in love? Yeah. So if you know something, why are you going off and getting mad? You're going to tear somebody apart because, well, don't they know? And I've heard that. And that is not coming from God. If somebody were truly as mature as they think they are and know the truth, they'd be like, well, I see where this person, they're misguided, you know, maybe. And you would be calm and be able to explain the truth to them. That's not where a lot of people are. They get mad. Mad over stuff. I can't believe they said that. That's not what the Bible says. God, don't they know the Word of God? This said this, and so-and-so is preaching this, and that's what I believe, and so there. What is that? What is that? Do you know what I'm talking about or not? Well, I heard this and I heard this back in 1992 and so that set my life. I can't believe that set me free. I can't believe you're preaching like that. You know what we have to do is ask ourselves, if it's the Word, forget about who said it. Is it in the Bible or not? Because then your problem isn't with that person. Guess who? Your problem is with. If you read something in the Bible, that's why we have scriptures that's why we turn to the Bible. Because you don't really care, you shouldn't really care what I say per se. If I'm not preaching the Word, if I'm preaching the Word, then you ought to care what the Word says. And then go away and say, don't say Jim said so and so, say the Bible says this. Because, you know, if Jesus doesn't come back soon, another 100 years, I'm not going to be here. Well, neither would you, but... Most of you. But you wouldn't be saying, well, Jim said back in 2016. It should be based on what the Word said. We thank God for people that direct us to the Word. That's what we ought to. They gave us light and were used by God to give us light on the Word. Thank God for the Apostle Paul. You know? But Apostle Paul, I mean, he said, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. It's the grace of God in me. See, but, you know, God used him. Glory to God. But anyway, we got off saying all that. Do you realize that people are doing certain things? Just don't get mad at me. Just listen. I know where I am. I know I'm in New England. Do you understand that people jump on certain bandwagons and they're doing it, and the actual motivation behind it is fear? Now, I'm going to say some things. That's why I don't know. I wasn't planning on saying this, but I'm going to say it. You do with it what you want, right? Listen to my heart. Not really teaching on this. But people get really into saving the planet. Let me tell you something. The planet's going to melt at some point. The Bible talks about it. People say, you know, you believe in global warming. No, I go way past that. Global meltdown. The Bible clearly said the earth is going to burn up. It's going to happen. So no, we should think about what we're doing. But let me tell you, if Jesus comes back, and it's not going to be that long, certain things are going to happen. A lot of what people are actually being motivated by, number one, they don't believe in God. They believe we're here by chance and we have to do everything we can because this is the only planet we have. Well, God knows that. But some of it is actually fear, and it's poverty mentality. Are you hearing me? Save and scrimp every little thing and go above and beyond. And you know what? It puts certain things above people. And God's not that way. Do you hear me? Just meditate. Just think about it. When a principle and so-called doing something for a cause starts overriding people, it's misguided. We can't do that because this will happen to the planet. Well, what about the people and the comfort of the people? I'm not saying be just loose with everything. You can use sense, but some of it's just poverty mentality. Well, it's another form of we got to scrimp and save every little thing and do it this way because, and now it's the planet. Just think about it. What are you afraid of? I'll tell you right now, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, and I'll say it boldly, this world will never flood again. This about the polar ice caps melting, what did God say when he put the rainbow in the sky? I will never again destroy the world with flood. I can tell you that will never happen. How do you know? The Word of God says it. So people saying that's going to happen, you're wrong. I said you're wrong. Let me just say this also. People talking about, seriously, we don't know what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. You know what it's going to be like in 100 years, really? You want me to believe that based on a computer model? Seriously? Do you realize that computer model can be flawed? How many times over can they be flawed?
Yes.
It's a computer model, which means I'm a software engineer. I understand a little bit about this. That means it's a program. That means it's created by people. I heard something not long ago where people were saying, well, you know, our model was wrong and certain things weren't happening in the atmosphere the way we thought because we didn't account for this other variable that's actually going on. Well, duh, how many of those things are there in the world that you don't know about? And if it's based on your model, that's not the same as it being based on hard facts. Did I lose all you guys? But there, my point is, we're talking about fear. Wasn't intended to say some of this, but that's why I was thoughtfully saying, should I say some of this or not? Well, here we are. But you have to know the truth. You need to ask yourself where certain things are coming from. If they don't go back to the Word, where are they coming from and what's the motivation? Forget the politics, okay? Forget certain things. When you hear somebody saying something, go back to the Bible. Okay, forget the political parties at some point. Our guide should be the Word of God. Okay? No matter what it is, what does the Word say about it? Hallelujah. We need to get just people have right now, people talk about the country being divided and all this. You know what? It didn't just all of a sudden become divided. I'm sorry. There have been a lot of stuff going on. But forget about the politics and ask yourself, what does the Word of God say? In every situation. And when somebody is, see, that's when certain people spouting certain things, when I look at the things that they're believing right next to the left and right of them, and I know for a fact what the Word of God says, it makes it suspect. Okay? We need to know what the Bible says. Base it on the Word of God. And you need to question the motives behind certain things and where did they originate. Ask yourself, what's the spirit? If there's fear involved, it's not God. Well, if we don't do something, this is going to happen. Ask yourself, what's the spirit? Is God going, if we don't do something, is that God? God is saying, we're going to win. I don't care what the scenario is, he's saying, we'll win. He already, do you understand? He already knows what the end's going to be. He's not thinking about it. He doesn't have 15 theories about it. You look at the back of my study Bible, I mean, look at in Revelation, so they go into it and they have all the different theories laid out. And there's all these different theories about when's the tribulation. I mean, I believe we're getting out of here before the tribulation. Everything that I see and been taught. But I like one of my instructors, you know, he said it like this. He goes, you know, there's pre-trib, there's post-trib, there's mid-trib. He goes, I'm pan-trib. It'll all pan out in the end. But there's so much, and people don't know. You know what? God has no confusion over what's going to happen in the end times. He doesn't have any confusion. You know what? He knows. But it's amazing how gullible people are, and especially with stuff that we're in the end times and certain things are going to happen, and people start getting fruity about it. And it's fear. Let me tell you something. If you build a bunker, I don't care how much ammo you have, how much food, if it really all goes to, you know, completely falls apart, they're going to know where you live. You're going to have to depend on God anyway. Huh? We better just learn to start depending on Him now. A lot of that is fear-based. Did I lose you guys? I believe we're doing. Did we not pray that we're going to get what we need this morning? Well, I believe we're getting it. This isn't quite exactly where I thought I'd be about 15 minutes into the sermon, but here we are. Fear is, it's a controlling force, okay? And Christians are not immune to it. I roll my eyes at the stuff I see people come out with, and then people jump on the bandwagon. I'm like, that's not going to happen. What are you selling? And you believe that, really? Have you read the Bible? I mean, for decades, things have been coming out. People writing books. 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 88. And then 89 reasons why he's coming in 88. I mean, seriously, people don't know. The Bible says you won't know. Now, you'll get a sense. I think you get a sense for, it doesn't say you don't know the day and the hour, but you'll get a sense. It's coming, folks. But people jump on kind of bandwagons and they're afraid of stuff and they start getting just loopy about, well, we got to do this and this because such and such is going to happen. And over the years, as the political scene has changed, I mean globally, well, this is going to happen for sure. The Antichrist is going to come out of this region. Whoops, that country fell. Now it's going to come over here because it's so clear. And people are doing the same thing now. Well, I mean, the Bible does say some stuff about it, but you know what? We can get distracted on that stuff and not take care of the business we're supposed to be taking care of now. living our lives, doing what we're supposed to be doing today, now. Some people are so caught up in what's going to happen at the end times, and it's like, you know, it's good to understand some things, but... And I'll tell you, I don't have a clue what people are preaching on the end times. So if you think I'm referring to anything, I don't even know because I don't keep up with it. So there you go. I don't know what people are saying. I ignore most of that stuff. Hallelujah. We're going to move on. But it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So if we're dealing with fear and that's motivating us, or it's motivating us in what we hear people saying, you can be sure if it's fear motivated, it's not God motivated. Amen. It's that black and white. Because there, look at verse 8 there, 1 John 4 verse 8. Where does it say, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love. God is love. Therefore, if you start hearing something that's based in fear and motivated by fear, guess what? The Bible just said up here that we read in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So if you hear something, any doctrine, any teaching, I don't care who it is, I don't care what person's saying it, I don't care if they have a big audience, that means nothing. Let's just get to the, get down to it. I mean, there are cults in the world that have a big following, that does not mean they're right. I don't care if somebody's on Christian TV. I don't watch Christian TV, so I'm not referring to anybody in particular. I don't. But if it's fear-based, if it's, you have to do this, if you don't give, such and such. If you ever hear somebody say, if you don't give, we're going out of business. Well, that's not faith. If you don't give, such and such is going to happen. If you don't follow this, then your children are in danger. That, anything you hear like that is fear-based. It's not of God, period. How can it be so black and white? Because it's here in black and white. God is not afraid, period. He does not motivate anything that would have fear in it, period. He does not motivate people by fear. If you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. That's fear. We ought not motivate our children by fear. Now, there's respect. I mean, you don't do this, I'm going to tan your butt. There's stuff like that. There are certain things they need to have. We've talked about it. Spanking is godly. It's in the Word. Not going to go into it. Read Proverbs. Come talk to me if you want. But it's clearly in the Bible. They ought to know their consequences, and there's a godly fear. That's reverence is not, honor and reverence is not the same as fear, that I am afraid of you. We ought to be reverent to God. We ought to say, I want to do what God would have me to do because it's the right thing, because I love God. That's different than if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. Do you see the difference? Religion is like that, and it's insidious. I had my parents were in a certain denomination. They grew up this way. They left that when, you know, I was, right around when I was six, which is when I got born again. My parents got born again in the late 70s. But they left, and there was such fear in that denomination, so-called. People were scared to leave because they've always been told, if you leave, you're going to hell. It's not funny. People, and to they dealt with it for years. And to this day, when certain things are brought, it's this thing that's been pounded into people that if you don't do this, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. And it's fear-based. People don't want to leave, even if they know the truth. Why? Because they're afraid. That's not God. Did you hear me?
Yes.
It's not God. God does not motivate people by fear. Hallelujah. We're into it today, aren't we? But God doesn't do that. And so when you feel this pressure, well, if I don't do this, if I don't read such and such, if I don't do my devotions, then this could happen. If I don't read my healing scriptures, then I might get sick. You're listening to the wrong thing. You should be saying, That's like saying, if I don't eat, something bad is going to happen to me. Well, if you don't eat for a long period of time, but you should say, if I don't eat, you shouldn't feel guilty. You should feel hungry. Most people, on the other hand, is not the problem we have. I didn't eat a meal, so I feel guilt. No, it's the other way around. We just got done with Thanksgiving. We're going into Christmas. That's not the problem, usually. I ate too much. Darn it. Right? But in Christian, it's the opposite. People go, well, I didn't, you know, they set up some law to themselves. They hear this person talks about how they read this book a day. And then this other person, how they read a chapter in this. And then another person, they do this devotional. So these people have, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 books that they do minimum a day. And if they don't do it, they feel guilty. I didn't do what I need to do to stay spiritually strong. I'm here to tell you that's the wrong motivation. You will not be strong spiritually if you believe that. Did you hear me? It's fear. What are you afraid? You're afraid of something bad happening to you if you don't do the right thing. What is it? That's legalism. That's fearful. That's not God is with me, for me. I love to read His Word. I love to spend time with Him because I feel strong. And if I don't do it a day, I'm not afraid of something bad happening to me. I'm feeling hungry. I want to get into the Word because I like spending time with God. Not I didn't do it, so I'm just a bad Christian. But you know, there's whole areas, religious areas, that will tell you, you have to do this and you have to do this, and if you don't do it, you're bad. What is that? That's fear of loss. It's fear of something bad happening to you. It's a horrible way to live. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in God. Anything that's fear motivated is not Him. Hallelujah. He is God Almighty. He is love. He is powerful. He's not afraid, so His children shouldn't be afraid. Thank God. Let's read a few scriptures on your sheet. John 16, verse 32. We read this before. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and now has come. You will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We read that last week, spent some time on it. Jesus said there is going to be tribulation in this world. There's going to be some stuff happen in this world. But He said, I've come that you may have peace. Amen. He said, be of good cheer, I've overcome it. He said, I'll read you that the definition of that word tribulation, the Greek definition. You can look this up in any Greek dictionary or what. I'm not a Greek scholar, but like this is in my study Bible, and you can look these things up in any Bible study tools. But it means, that word translated tribulation says, it means pressure, it means oppression. Now this is what Jesus said you're going to face in the earth. Just ask yourself, do these things exist in the world? It's pressure. Anybody feel pressure this week? Huh? Oppression, stress. Huh? Anybody in the world ever talk about stress? Yes, of course, all the time. Jesus said that you're going to face it. Anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing, distress. Anybody ever felt squeezed? Huh? Jesus said that's going to happen. The thing is, what are we going to do with it? When we feel squeezed, when we feel stressed, how do we act? Jesus said He's overcome the world. He said it's going to happen. So what do we do with it? Our reaction is going to be based on what we believe. And what happens to you doesn't indicate a certain outcome. So if the same thing happens to two people, it doesn't mean that they're going to handle it the same way. How they handle it is based on what they believe. People say, you know, anything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Not necessarily. It's how you react to it. Because if tribulation, if just going through stuff made people strong, there'd be some people should be the strongest people in the world, and they're not. They're bitter. Age doesn't necessarily make you more mature or stronger. It's how you deal with the things over life. People have gone through very hard circumstances, and they're a shell of a person now. Huh? They're not happy about life. They're not motivated. Problems don't get you through. Just facing the problems, they don't make you stronger. And God does not send these things to make us stronger. Jesus just said, we're going to face it because he's doing it. No, we live in a fallen world. There is an enemy. Yes. We live in a broken world. Okay? Now, Jesus came that we could rely on him and we could overcome the world. So he's made a way. People sometimes say, God, if God would just hear my calls. He has heard your calls. He sent Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's up to us to rely on what he did and to take him at his word and to say, Lord, I believe you. I can overcome. I'm not going to be afraid. Now, he's already sent the answer. People are looking. See, that's unbelief right now. That's fear. God, I just want you to show yourself to me. No, he has revealed himself to you. The word of God, Jesus in the flesh. What should we be doing? We have to believe it. We have to act on it. But we live in a world that is fallen. It's broken. Stuff goes wrong. And then we're faced with a choice. How are we going to react? Are we going to believe the word of God? Are we going to believe that Jesus said he's overcome the world? And it says over there in 1 John, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Are we going to believe that he's with us? If he's with us, then we can overcome. Are we going to believe that? Or are we going to believe, no, this thing's going to crush me? Well, there's the difference right there. I can't overcome it. Okay? But then what did Jesus say? If Jesus said we could, we have a choice. What are we going to believe? Fear will drive you to say, I can't do it. Fear will drive you to say, there's no way. That's fear. But faith will say, with God all things are possible. We'll get through this. We're going to come over it. Amen. So we went through some of these different scriptures. I want to skip down to Psalm 91. This is really where I wanted to get to today. I want you to look at some of this. And in light of everything we've said, there is no fear in love. God is not afraid. We're not to be afraid. These things in the world that people say, well, and they tell you, we have to question what's the motivation behind some of these things. They tell you, well, you better be afraid of this or this could happen. What's the motivation? Because how does that line up with what we see here? Let's turn over to Psalm 91. Take the time to turn there. And then I also have it in the New Living Translation, which I think is really good there. But take the time to turn over in your Bible, Psalm 91. And just ask yourself as we're reading, how does the outlook you see in the world, and maybe some people that are coming at it from a so-called Christian point of view, or even some of the things we may have in our mind, how does it line up with what we see the Bible saying here? Psalm 91 verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers. Let's just read through this and we'll come back through. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now there's a lot there. Might have just been, you know, unless you're familiar with it, could have just been streaming over your consciousness, not really getting some of that. There's so much here. I don't want to go past this too. I want to touch on some of this today. We'll see if we're done or not, but I don't want to blow past it too fast. But I wanted to get here at least today. And with everything else we've said here, just in context, thinking about Jesus said there would be trouble on this earth. The Bible says there is no fear in love. God knows what's going on. God has an answer for every problem. Look at these statements. These aren't, you know, we've read a number of other statements in the Word talking about being afraid, that we shouldn't be afraid of things around us. But look at here. This is a concentrated dose of protection and safety in God right here. And it flies in the face of what so many people are thinking and that they're afraid of. If you just look at the Word, you could be confident in saying certain things and saying that that won't happen to me. That won't happen to me. We need to be bold. The people are like, well, how can you be so sure? You just never know what's going to happen. No, that's not true. If you believe what the Word says, you can be certain about some things. And we need to be certain about some things. If we're like, well, I just don't know. I don't know. That could happen. I mean, that I could get in an accident. No, that you're thinking the wrong way. The Bible tells us very clearly and has promises for us and tells us our rights as a child of God, but we need to accept them. They don't happen automatically. No, it's not all just chance in this world. It's not all just happenstance. It's not all just, well, what will be, will be. It's not all just, well, you were in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, it's all not just natural. There is a spiritual realm. You can't see it unless God's opened your eyes. I can't see it, but we believe it. Why? Because the Bible tells us. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. His angels are real. There is an enemy. There are demons. Yes. It is not just what you can see and feel and touch. And you are not at the mercy of chance. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. That could happen. Who am I to say it won't happen? We need to know what the Word of God says. It's a contract. It's a legal document. You know, you can go without certain things that you're rightly entitled to, either just from the government or in a contract, and if you don't know your rights, you can go without. Does that mean they were not provided? That means they were there and you didn't take advantage of them, or I didn't take advantage of them. Too many Christians are going through this life and thinking they're at the mercy of what happens, just like everyone else. It's not true. Did you hear me? We need to know what the Word of God says concerning our safety, concerning our protection. There are many Christians that are afraid, and they're afraid of things that God has clearly stated in His Word that they have been redeemed from. But they're yielding to fear. We are not just walking this world. There are trials and tribulations in this world. Jesus said there were. But He did not say we were without an answer and we had to put up with whatever comes our way. And He certainly didn't say He was the author of the things that are bad and He was doing it because that's just His will. He did not say that. Amen. We need to be different.
Yes.
We need to know differently.
Amen.
We need to know what is ours, and we need to boldly stand up and say, "This is mine." No, that will not happen.
Amen.
That will never happen to me. Boldly. And yeah, there can be a nagging thought, well, how do you know? I know because the Word of God tells me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Or the Bible tells me so. How do you know? God said it. The Word said it. That settles it. Now let's look at the New Living Translation. Verse 1. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him. Notice it says, He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He didn't say anything about anything natural. He didn't say anything about a certain location on the earth. He said, He alone is my place of safety. Verse 3, for He will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will rescue you from how many of the traps? Well, I don't know. God, you know, the devil was crafty on that one. Bible, the enemy will set traps for you. But if we'll listen to God, if we'll listen to Him, notice verse 1, it says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High God. Verse 1 in the New King James said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. That means you're living close to Him. That means you are staying close. Are there traps in the world? Yes, there are. But God will spring every one of them if we're close to Him and listening to Him. Now, if we just go off and do our own thing, are there still traps? And this is how people get picked off. And we've mentioned it, but this is how then people go, well, I don't understand why that happened. That person was such a good person. It has nothing to do with being a good person. Do you know what your rights and privileges are? And were you close to Him? Now, we're not talking about fear. You should not be going close to, well, I'm afraid of something happening. This is just a consequence. You don't stay close to Him and listen to what He's telling you to do and, in fact, rebel. If a person rebels and then goes over here and something is waiting for them, that's not God's fault, and nor did He did not ordain it. He had protection. He was trying to protect you by telling you, avoid that. And if we listen, if we don't listen to Him, we've shunned the protection that He was offering. Does that make sense?
Yes.
People say, well, I don't know why God didn't protect so-and-so over there. Were they supposed to be over there? Because if God was telling them to be over here, they were rebelling against the protection. God was trying to protect them. He was saying, don't go there. There's a trap. God cannot just protect everybody from everything if they won't listen to him. Do you see this? Did I lose some of you guys? I know people, you know what people preach? God can do anything, anywhere, and his grace is sufficient, and it doesn't matter what you're doing because he understands. He understands. He loves you. But if you go into a hellhole and he told you not to, and something bad happens, and he was all the time prompting you not to go there, that's a problem, and it's not God that failed to protect. Amen. Amen. Yes. It is important to be close to him. It is important to walk and abide in his presence. But he said, verse 3, he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. Did he not say that? Look at it. Verse 3, he will rescue from how many traps?
Every.
But what's the, you can't just rip that out of context. Verse 1, those who live in the shelter, we need, there's something that we have to do with it. We need to listen to him. If we don't listen to him, that doesn't apply. Well, I just say that because, you know, people try to twist these things and say, well, see, Joe, somebody, you know, like I said, I don't like to use names because then people tie them to whatever. Try to pull out a name and you don't realize you're using somebody in the congregation. But a person, so-and-so, somebody, something happened to him. Why didn't God protect him? That's foolish to ever ask that question. Why didn't? So God failed on his part of the contract. Huh? It was God's fault. God was not faithful. Well, you. So what? Are you sure you're going to heaven then? Are you sure he's going to do what he said to... that he said he would do when you believed on his son then? Because if he's not faithful in that circumstance, are you sure you're a Christian? Are you sure you're saved? Which part does he fail on? Maybe you fail on your instance. Oh, I just, you know, it didn't work there. Sorry, you're in hell. Huh? I'm serious. Why do we ask, did God not do it? It's not God all the time. It's never him. It's never his problem. He said, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. But verse 3, I don't know if we're going to get much further than this, but he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Is that clear or not?
Yes.
Protect you from deadly disease. There's a few more that talk. Let's just focus on that part. Let's just read a little bit more here. For he will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor of the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Verse 7, though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. How clear is it what we're reading? Is that, you know, waffly?
No.
Mamby-pamby, just kind of fuzzy? Verse 3 says he'll protect you from deadly disease. Verse 7 says, though 1,000 fall at your side, though people are dying all around you, it won't touch you. Well, I don't know. You just never know. It might hit you. Is that what this says? Is that what this says? Is that Bible to say that then? Well, I just don't know. You know, it might hit me. No, no. How could we be so bold? Because he said it right here. He said it will not. Verse 8, just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Is that ambiguous? How many plagues will come near your home? What did he say right? No, if you make the Lord your refuge, if the Lord's your strength, if he's your defense, then no evil will conquer you. Notice it didn't say no evil will ever, you'll never come face to face with it. Jesus said you would, but it will not conquer you. No plague will come near your home. Are those verses fuzzy? Are they saying it may happen to you? It is very black and white. It is bold. You know what people say? Well, this is happening. I just don't know why. What's going on? God, what are you doing? What's going on? You said no plague would come near me. What is that? See, the mentality is wrong. The mentality is saying, I see something. God, you promised this. I see something. And so, God, you're not doing what you said. Instead of saying, God, you said this. I see something. This has to change to line up with what you said. This is illegal. This plague cannot touch me. This plague is illegal. The Bible said no deadly disease will come near me. The Bible said, I don't care how many, doesn't matter how many people are dying around me, it won't touch me.
Amen.
See, that's a boldness. That's, you don't have to, the fear will tell you, oh no, it's happening. Why did it happen? God, where are you? God, move on my behalf. God, call 1,000 people, all the churches around, and get them to pray because this is happening. That's fear. Faith will say, wait a minute, wrong, illegal, not going to happen here. I have the word of God on it. God said that he would protect me. God said this has no right on my property, no right on my children, no right on my body. Therefore, God, your will stand. This thing has to go. Can you be that bold? Yes, you can. And a lot of religion would say, oh, no, you don't know. You don't know you just don't know. No, we do know. We know if we take the word of God as truth. Amen.